We hope you enjoy listening to this weekly podcast from Lifeline Church. Find out more by visiting lifelinechurch.co.uk.
Being here. So I want to talk to you this morning about something that's really been strong in my own heart. And God first spoke to me about it some time ago. And it's just been growing so strong. I thought, I really need to share it with you. And so, some time ago, many years ago, not here, I don't think we ever did it here, but when I was probably a kid or growing up, in the meetings where my parents took me, we used to sing a response song, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I won't sing it for you today because I'm here to help you, not to give you pain. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Great song. I didn't have a clue what it meant. It always seemed weird to me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. But I've come to see that the heart thing is really, really important. And I was reading through Romans the other day, and a verse particularly stood out to me. And it's in Romans 9, verse 1. It talks about, my conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I speak the truth in Christ. And it just struck me again that the conscience, our conscience, that internal part that somehow is beyond mind and intellect, it's even deeper than that. That's our heart. That's that place, that central part of our being that actually, that's where God wants to dwell, and that's where God works. So I've been thinking about that. It's about our conscience. It's about where the Holy Spirit works in us. And a heart change moves us from ought to want to, which is an amazing thing, because actually it moves us from law to grace. It moves us from the old covenant to the new covenant. It brings us into the place that God has purchased for us through Jesus, that actually we're changed from the inside. And it's no longer fulfilling all sorts of rules and regulations, but it's actually having a new desire, a new hunger, shall we say, a new heart within us. It changes from the ought to the want to. And I believe at this time that this is something that God has particularly got for us and has been particularly emphasizing to me. And therefore I wanted to bring that to you. Not from ought to, but to want to. God stirring something that causes me to hunger more for him, to desire him more. And it's about nothing that I do. It's about what he does. And I actually believe that really nothing changes until the heart changes. You see, God no longer looks for a conformity to a series of rules and regulations, but requires the submission of a whole person from the very center of their being, namely the heart, so that with his Spirit dwelling within, there would be a desire that's created. His Spirit creates a desire. And in fact, that's the scripture. It's God who works within us, both to create the desire and give the ability to do his will. So that it's a get out of jail free card. It's not about my effort. It's about my surrender. It's not about a once and for all. Is about a continuous ability to actually turn from self-effort, turn from even beating ourselves up. But Lord, just do in me. Just have your way in me. just stir that thing within. And today, in bringing this to you, obviously I have a purpose. I believe the purpose is God's purpose. And that is that he does something and he confirms his word with signs following. And that for anybody and everybody who's stirred to say, you know what, I'd like to desire more. I want something that I don't have to kind of make myself, but it's something that's happening within. You see, without heart is so important. Care becomes rules. Yeah, you need to do this, you should do this. It's what's expected of you. Commitment becomes a form of legalism. You know, even in the natural, when I got married, my wife did not give me a rule book that this is how you're going to express commitment to me. She might have tried, but it didn't work. Seriously. It's something, and that's even in the natural, something that actually stirs from within. Commitment isn't some form of legalism. I am responsible. I must do this. I must do that. See, without heart, worship becomes just a form, something that we do. I'm sure that many of you have experienced like I have in the past. You can sing the songs, you can engage, but actually it's not something that's really stirring from within. It looks okay from the outside. Anybody looking, it would just look good. But actually, God has got something much better for us. Worship is not just about form. It's not about the things we do. It's about expressing something that's bubbling up and stirring right from our hearts. Without heart, even giving becomes worthless, because man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And we can give, yeah, it looks okay, but it's not the giving that God requires, the giving first of ourselves to him. And then anything else that we give has to be an expression of heart if it's going to fulfill the purpose of God. Ezekiel 36 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. What does that mean? See, you have to get beyond, this is imagery. You've got to get beyond that and get into the heart of what God does. Basically, he's saying, when we come to him, when we give our lives over to him, he does a miracle. He changes. But it doesn't stop there. His purpose is that this continues and goes on and on. Actually, what I've got for you today is very good news. What does it mean? Let's look at it again. A heart of flesh. And it's not talking about stone and it's not talking about flesh. It's talking about the imagery of what God really does. This is a miracle that changes us from the inside. It's talking about something internal. It's attitude rather than action and presentation. The law, which is the Old Testament, what God set us free from by coming and dying and giving his life on the cross to fulfill the requirements of the law commanded the outside but could never fix the inside. It could look good on the outside. It could comply on the outside, but it wasn't something coming from the inside. God works from the inside out. We can't change our own hearts. Do you realize that nobody actually desires God from their own volition? You can't sit down and decide, I'm going to desire God. If you desire God, that's God already at work within you. He's already doing something. And what we're doing is saying, Lord, I want more of that. I want more of what you're doing. I want you, Lord, to change my heart even more. I want to find that overwhelming, increasing desire for you and for your purpose. We can't change our own hearts. In fact, Romans 3 tells us, actually, there's no one who seeks God. No one who seeks God. We didn't start off by deciding one day I would seek God. If we did, it was because God was already at work in us. It's God who works in us, both to create the desire, and give the ability to do his will. We cannot change our own hearts. It's something that God does. For it's God, Philippians 2, who works in you, both to will, that's to create the will, and to work for his good pleasure. Operating from the heart rather than opposed to the law. God at work in me, not me being somehow, I don't know, trying harder, feel I ought to do better. Somebody spoke to me, yeah, I suppose I should do better. What about that coming from within? And really, that's all I've got to say to you. Oh, I've got a few more things to add in. But it's a one-sentence message. God wants to change our hearts. And if we desire that, that's because he's already at work in us. And our response is to say, Lord, change my heart. Make it so that I desire you, desire your purposes, desire to comply with your will from the inside. It's interesting how it works. Have you ever done this? Give somebody a gift. Say, gave someone £10. I thought, that's right, done that now. But somehow, I don't know if it was the act in doing that, but there's a desire to do something more. It's like we take the first step that God puts within us, and that just opens the doorway for the next thing, the desire to do his purpose. It's not about fulfilling a sense of duty, but a desire to express more that's in our heart. And where is it coming from? That God's doing it. Nothing changes until the heart changes. I'm trusting, if it isn't already the case, that as we share together in this brief time this morning, that God will stir in you a desire for a heart change, a desire for something more, a desire to go beyond the natural. You know, it's not a great deal. Let's say we're here together. And we would encourage you, go and say hello to someone. Well, it's one thing to say hello, but what if God is stirring our hearts? If God is at work, would we be satisfied with just saying hello? Would we be satisfied with just that kind of cultural thing? I don't think so. I think we'd be looking to see, what is God saying and giving to me? What is the expression of God's heart to this person that I'm speaking to? Maybe it's somebody I've not spoken to before. Maybe it's somebody I know well. But Lord, what have you got? Is there something more than just a cultural thing? Where does that come from? Where does that desire come from? That desire comes from God working in us. And it would stretch to all things. Serving. Well, it's not at our convenience. It's at our cost. It's about, what does the Bible say? Laying down our lives for one another. It's serving, never at convenience. This world will do that. But God calls us to be representatives of him. You know, I think about different things. Sometimes we're aware of the cost. Some years ago, we were ministering in the States, and it had been a fairly intense time. We had the kids with us, and They just loved listening to my ministry in meeting after meeting after meeting. I mean, what more could they ask for? Anyway, to soften it, we said, okay, at the end, we're going to go to Disney. Joy upon joys. But before the end came, we got a call from here. And there was a great need with one of the brothers and the child that was getting near the end of the life. And we did built this up. Yeah, there was a cost. We had to say, boys, we're not going to go to Disney. We need to cut that out and go straight back home. Guys, I'm not saying there's not cost. I'm saying the cost is worth it every time. Sometimes cost isn't even a consideration. Some years ago, we had a couple in the church and they longed for a child. And they just didn't conceive. And eventually, after a long time, they did. And then there was all sorts of problems in the pregnancy. Anyway, to cut the story short, eventually, the wife gave birth at 2 o'clock in the morning. The husband, a couple were close to us, phoned us. I don't think it was appropriate to say, I can fit you in my diary next Tuesday at 3 o'clock for a time of rejoicing. He wanted to rejoice. He didn't even think about the cost. So up we get 2 o'clock in the morning for a time of rejoicing and thanksgiving. Yeah, there was no cost involved in that. It was just walking in the goodness of God. Sometimes we're aware of the cost. Sometimes the cost isn't even a consideration. Celebrating God's goodness. Here's some good news. Do you think God's already started something in you? Yes. Yeah? Yeah? 3 of us do. Yeah. Yeah. Philippians 1. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm thankful that he hasn't done yet with us. Amen? There's more to come. But the good news that I'm bringing you, my brothers and sisters, today is it's something for today. Not tomorrow. It's something for today. A heart change. Thankful that he's not done with us yet. But also thankful that he's the one that's doing it. It's never going to happen by trying harder. It's never going to happen by sort of doing all the things I know I ought to do or should do. It's him creating and increasing a desire. Some months ago, this started off with me, and I thought, that desire, it's not as it should be. So, it wouldn't be much use singing more songs or reading more scriptures or, I don't know, trying to be good. It was simply, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, bring this. Just start again. Just want that heart to be pulsating again with hunger for you. Recognizing that he's not done yet, he's the one who's doing it. It's not about trying harder. Bible says, can a man add one cubit, that means one tiny bit to his stature, by taking thought? We can't do it. You know, all the trying in the world won't do it. We have to invite him to have his way. So I'm going to ask you a little heart check. How's your heart today? Has it got a bit hardened? How do I know if my heart is hard or it's merely all these awful circumstances that are hindering me? How do I know that? Well, that's a dodgy one. Because the Bible tells us that the heart can be exceedingly deceitful and wicked. So what do we do? Lord, search me. Lord, search my heart. Lord, you know you can do this more than I can. Lord, you're equipped to do this. You have all the technology. I don't have that. Lord, search my heart. See, the alternative to asking God to search is if we get into self-analysis instead of waiting for him to do the assessment. Self-analysis doesn't work good, and in fact it's disastrous in terms of asking, and as an alternative to asking God to search our hearts. You see, we're a bit sneaky, and it doesn't take long to come up with excuses. Well, Lord, yes, my heart is... Well, it's because of her, or because of this circumstance. It's very easy to come up with excuses. It's not a good idea to try and do it ourselves. And then, well, actually, how about this one? We call it pitchforking. Those of you that know anything about older style farming will know that pitchfork is an implement used on a farm where you take something like some straw or corn in front of you on a long handled fork and you throw it over your head. In other words, you take what's in front of you and you cast it behind you. Pitchfork. Basically, this must be for somebody else. Now I think of it. Yes, looking at that Neil, he looks as though he's a little bit off key and his heart's got a bit hardened. Yeah, that's not what God tells us to do. The other one is what I like to call the spin doctors. It's a list of alternatives that can come up. But there is no alternative to say, Lord, search my heart. Lord, do in me what I can't do in myself. So what I suggest we do is Richard's going to come in a minute, and we're going to use that song, Change My Heart, O Lord. But when we do this, it's a prayer. And it's a prayer that I want us to take very seriously. Change my heart, O Lord. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O Lord. Make me more like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. You know, I didn't do well with art when I was at school, and nothing's changed since. But at one stage, we had the option to do pottery. And I thought, oh, I like the sound of that. And I kind of got on with that rather better. To the point that in subsequent times, we took the opportunity, when we were often in the West Country, to go and watch a potter at work. And I remember standing there one day watching this, and it was like, God just showed me something. And the first thing the potter did was he took a lump of clay and he banged it down real hard on the wheel. I thought, God, if that was you, it'd really hurt. And then he needed to do that so that he could work on it. He didn't work on the outside. He worked from the inside out. And he was forming this beautiful little jug. And interestingly, he took a lot of time when he came to the lips that they were formed right and properly. And that's how God works. He starts on the heart first, on the inside. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Let's just take this. It's a prayer, really. And if you want to pray this prayer, and I do trust that you do, if God is at work and there's a desire for something more of him, if God is at work and something has stirred in you, let's just use this. And interestingly, he took a lot of time when he came to the lips that they were formed right and properly. And that's how God works. He starts on the heart first, on the inside. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Let's just take this. It's a prayer, really. And if you want to pray this prayer, and I do trust that you do, if God is at work and there's a desire for something more of Him, if God is at work and something is stirred in you, let's just use this.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Lifeline Church. We hope this message has been an encouragement to you. We are a relational church with a passion to demonstrate God's love to one another and our surrounding community in real and practical ways. We believe that God has called us to have an impact on our families, our communities, and our nation. We'd love to connect further with you, so please do visit our website at lifelinechurch.co.uk, on Facebook, lifeline.church.uk, or Twitter at lifelineuk.